The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
We know that we receive the promise of eternal salvation by faith alone. So are there other promises that God makes that we receive by faith alone? Are all of God's promises received by faith alone? Or are some promises conditional and others are unconditional? And how do we know? You have tuned to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society, and we welcome you today. Thank you for being here. Our website is faithalone.org. You can find out a lot about our ministry by going there and just looking around. We have a lot of resources there for you. And you can find out about our seminary, our free online seminary, at gesseminary.org or by going to the aforementioned faithalone.org. Now let's get into our discussion today about the promises of God. Here are Ken Yates and Bob Wilkin.
All right, welcome back to Grace in Focus. I'm here with Ken Yates, and we have a question from Mark. I'll go ahead and read it. Interesting question. Ken and I just kicked it around, so we've got some ideas for you. He says, "Hi, GES team. I have a question about the fundamental statement that we make, believe in Jesus Christ, the giver, for the promise of everlasting life, the gift. Must we believe in each of God's promises in order to receive them, or is this true only in the promise of eternal life?" Well, this is a really good question, and I think it's very important that we answer this correctly. Now, how many promises would you guess there are in the Bible, Ken? How many? Just give me a guess.
I would have no idea many promises.
Okay. More than 100.
Sure.
More than 1,000.
Sure.
More than 100,000.
I wouldn't say that. More than 100. But maybe there's more than 100,000.
If every prophecy is a promise, there could be 100,000, right? Maybe even 1,000,000. Regardless of how many there are, the truth is that many of the promises in the Bible are unconditional, right?
Yes, there's unconditional promises made.
Like right. Jesus is coming again.
Right.
We don't have to meet some condition for him to come again. He is coming. Now, when he comes again is conditional based on, I think, certain verses that as long as the sins of the world aren't filled up, the rapture will not occur. But as far as that he's coming again, that's unconditional. There are lots of things that are unconditional in Scripture when God gives prophetic. Like, for example, they weren't going to break Jesus' bones. That was a guaranteed promise.
He was going to be betrayed by someone close to him.
Right. Nobody had to fulfill any condition for those things to happen. They were going to happen. But then there are many conditional promises in the Bible. Now, I don't know what the number is, but I would bet that the number of conditional promises in the Bible is in the thousands. And so when Mark is asking about believing in Jesus for everlasting life, the condition there is believing in the giver for the gift.
Right.
So I have to believe in Jesus for the gift of everlasting life to get the gift of everlasting life. And we base that on verses like John 3:16, right? Whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life.
John 5:24.
He who hears my word and believes and has sent me, present tense, has everlasting life. Future tense, shall not come into judgment, past tense, but is passed
from death unto life. Right.
Or John 4:10. You know, he's the gift, and he gives the gift, which he explains in verse 14, is everlasting life. But what Mark has asked here is, do we receive all of God's conditional promises simply by believing them? And the answer is absolutely not.
And the key there is what you said, the condition.
Right. The condition of almost all of God's promises that are conditional is faithfulness on our part, obedience on our part. For example, in James chapter 2, James discusses faith without works. And he says, can faith without works save us from God's judgment in this life? And the answer is no. And then he gives an illustration. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, be filled and be warmed, which is a good thing to say, but you don't give them what's needed for the body, what good is that? What profit is it? What use is that? The answer is it's no good. It's
and in
not
that case,
profitable.
In that case, you're talking about a believer who believes, like, yeah, I should do something. It would be good if I did something for
right.
this person.
But he doesn't do it.
But he doesn't do it.
The result is he hasn't met the condition. Well, the condition of it's more blessed to give than receive is to give.
I could be convinced that, yeah, it's more blessed to give than receive, but I'm not going to give.
Let's say I'm convinced that God loves a cheerful giver, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, and that I'm to give to my local assembly. I'm to do my fair share in my local church, right? I believe that. But I don't give anything to my local church. Am I meeting the condition for receiving the blessing of God as a result of being a cheerful giver?
No, you're not meeting the condition.
No. And in the same way, if I want to rule with Christ in the life to come, is it enough for me to believe that Jesus is going to reward people in the life to come?
No, you got to meet the condition of, for example, Mark 8:34, laying
What's
down
the condition?
Your taking up your cross, following him, suffering with him, walking
right.
by the Spirit.
Right. So most of God's promises that are conditional require us to be obedient, to do what God says. That's why I like to say that faith without works is dead in James 2, 17, 20, and 26 is basically saying if I don't apply what the Word of God says, I don't get the blessings that the Bible promises.
Yeah, this is a really good point because a lot of times with covenant lordship people, they'll say, well, if you really believe, you will do this. But what we're saying is, no, you can believe something.
And not do it.
And not do it.
Right.
I'm convinced that, yeah, that's true. Like, for example, I believe that eating cheesecake is not good for me.
But yet I eat cheesecake at every meal.
Exactly.
But and I weigh 700 pounds.
Exactly. Or every time I eat cheesecake, I believe, you know, this isn't good for me. I believe it, but I'm not, you know, if a doctor says, hey, if you eat cheesecake, you're going to gain weight.
Right.
I believe that. But I'm not going to meet the condition of not eating that cheesecake when it's put out in front of me. And so,
Ben, I don't get the benefit of the promise that, you know, if I'm watching what I eat,
right,
then I'm going to be healthy.
We talked, Bob and I talked about this before. Years ago, Bob told me about someone he knew who was a very, very good Bible teacher.
Right.
And I can't remember if it was your particular local church, but this guy knew that he had eternal life. He believed in rewards.
Right. Eternal rewards.
Eternal
rewards. Ruling with Christ.
Yeah, he believed all of it. And he was asked to take a more active role in the church. And his answer was, no, I'm not going to do that. Because he said, I'm sleeping with women that I'm not married to. I know it's wrong. I know it's going to cost me rewards. I believe that. I'm convinced it's true. But, well, I'm not willing to give that up.
Right. So, and would that person therefore be given the blessing of ruling with Christ in the life to come?
No. Not as long as he continues that and dies in that state, then no.
Because the condition of ruling with Christ is not believing
that there's
that
going to be
some people are going to rule with Christ.
Right.
It's not believing in eternal rewards. It's actually doing what God says, or ultimately 1 John 1:7,
right,
walking in the light, and 1 John 1:9, confessing my sins. This guy's in the spiritual far country.
And what's interesting about that is he also believed in the condition. He says, no, I'm convinced that the condition of ruling, not only am I convinced that believers are going to rule, I also believe that the condition is that I need to live a life of fellowship with the Lord, walking in the light. I believe that too, but I'm not going to meet that condition.
Let me give you an odd illustration of this, but this is where it's actually the guy got it wrong. When I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, one year I went to Daytona Beach during spring break, and I was witnessing to students on the beach. So I'm talking to this one guy early in the afternoon. I think he had just gotten up. And he and several other guys were shacking up with like two or three girls that they met from another college. And they were sleeping together during spring break. I was going through the four spiritual laws with him, and which isn't the clearest of booklets, but I was putting my own spin on it and saying, you don't have to pray this prayer, you don't have to invite Jesus into your life, or you don't have to give him control of your life. What you have to do is believe in him, and if you believe in him, he's going to give you eternal salvation that can never be lost. He'll give you everlasting life. And the guy said, you know what? I like sleeping with these girls. I'm planning on sowing my wild oats, I think that was the expression he used, until I'm old enough, I'm old and decrepit. And then maybe when I'm 60 or 70 years old, then I'll be willing to turn from my sins and be saved. And I tried to explain to him, no, the condition of having everlasting life is believing in Jesus. It has nothing to do with turning from your sinful ways.
It has
ways.
Nothing to do with these two women that are up in your
right.
rental apartment.
Right. And he said, no, I don't agree. He said, I think in order to be saved, you got to turn from your sins. But I'm not willing to do that yet. Well, here was a guy that didn't believe what God said. But like the other guy who did believe in the promise of everlasting life and even believed in the promise of eternal rewards, he was saying, I'm not willing to give this up right now.
Right.
So either way, it's kind of stupid on the part of an unbeliever to say, I'd rather risk my eternal destiny than keep to sleeping with these people, especially when he's confronted with the fact that John 3:16 doesn't say anything about your behavior. You know, it's not he who behaves in me, it's he who believes in me.
Right.
But anyway, I think Mark has the right idea that believing in Jesus is the condition for receiving the promise, but he's got the wrong idea in saying the solution to receiving all of God's promises is believing them. Yes, I need to believe that God will fulfill the promise if I meet the condition,
right.
But I got to meet the condition.
Exactly. It was a great question, and it's a good discussion on what it means to believe. You can believe something and not act upon it.
I would encourage each of you to take this question to your Sunday school class and talk about it. Many of our podcasts are worthy discussion for Sunday school or for a home Bible study.
And see if you agree with us. See if the class agrees
or
with us.
Or disagree.
That's
either
right.
Way.
And if you disagree, you can write Bob a letter and tell him he's crazy. But in the meantime,
keep
grace in focus.
Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, please join us. We will be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? That familiar passage in Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.